Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Dan from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Rachel from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is in John 14.
You know the way where I am going. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place, to prepare a place, to prepare a place for you. And you know the way where I am going. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that where I am, that where I am, you also may be. And you know the way where I am going. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in God. Believe in God. Believe also in me.
We're in John, and we're in verses 3 through 10.
And Gil, we read chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, but we really didn't talk about that, so we ought to pick up on that and start there.
Good idea.
Okay. And I'll just read it again, just to remind us. Now, on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and sees the stone taken away from the tomb. She runs therefore and comes unto Simon Peter and unto the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and says to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they have laid him."
This is the first day of the week, and this is the day of the resurrection, right? The mm-hmm. first day of the week. And this is what we count as the first day of the week. And the Jews always rested on the Sabbath. Everything focused around the Sabbath, which was Saturday. But this first day of the week becomes the focal point instead of the Sabbath, the seventh day. And what's interesting is that when this is all fulfilled, this will be the beginning of a whole brand new life for us, for God's kids. It'll become the first day of the week. Jesus, Yesu, in the Greek, if you add all the letters up, equals 888. The eighth day is a brand new week. So by Jesus dying on the cross, this is the eighth day. This is a brand new week. 7 days in a week. This is a brand new week. It's a new life. Everything in the past is forgotten. We get to start over in Jesus' death, his burial, the shedding of his blood, and the burial, and the resurrection now starts a brand new life. We all get a brand new start.
So she came to the tomb while it was still dark, and she saw the stone was taken away. And then she ran over to where Simon Peter was and where the other disciple was, which is John. So she's talking to two people, and she said, "They have taken away the Lord, and we know not where they've laid him." So that is showing there that she wasn't alone over there at that tomb, because we have seen something, but she's the one that ran over there and got them. So there's a we going on in the story, and maybe that'll come clearer as we go along here. But it was dark when she went there with someone else, the we, and came back and got Simon Peter and Simon Peter and John were now together and wherever they were. And it must have not been that far away. She ran over there. Those were a few of the details that I hadn't seen before.
We are now in chapter 20, verse 3 through 10.
"Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and they went to the tomb. And the two ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came first to the tomb. And stooping down, he sees the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Simon Peter, therefore, also comes following him and went into the tomb. And behold, the linen cloths lying, and the napkin that was upon his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up into one place apart. They then went in, therefore, the other disciple also, who came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own."
You know, there's three parts to the man. It says, "May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord." And we didn't know until we started reading the Bible, none of us knew this, that we also have three different eyesights. We have one eyesight. We have eyesight that our spirit sees things. And my wife had really good eyes that way. She could see things. And that's one Greek word. And our mind can see things, see something in your mind's eye. You ever heard that expression mm-hmm. before? See
yeah.
it in your mind's eye. And then our flesh can see things, you know, which is not always good. You know, men see certain things, women see certain things that are not always healthy that people look at. Or we have a slant. It talks about being fleshly minded. But we also have fleshly eyesight. We can look at things in the flesh. And prejudice is a fleshly eyesight. To be racially prejudiced is a fleshly eyesight. To be pretty or ugly prejudiced is fleshly. And it says we no longer know each other after the what?
Flesh.
After the flesh.
Where to know each other after the hidden man of the heart, like God knows us after the heart. So there are three different words. One is, it's a medical term. If you have blepharitis, you have pink eye generally, or you'll have some other infection of the eye. And that's blepo, and that's, so he saw it, but he saw it at first. He didn't go into the tomb. He's looking, what do you think it looks like inside of a cave when you're standing out in the bright sunlight? How well do you see in there?
It's dark.
Yeah. It's black.
Yes.
You don't see it at all. Well, the first one, they're on the outside, and they blepo see. In other words, it's an eyesight where there's an infection. You're looking at it through human eyes, not the inner eyes. And then, so John, because he was fast, he's like Andy. Andy and I used to, we went out running several times, and not many people could stay up with Andy because he's a champion runner. I had no problem. But then later on, I have to confess I'm on my 10-speed bike. And his dad had no problem following, and he was a bit on the heavy side. He had no problem going out with him because he was in the car. So apparently John is the fastest, and John is riding this, and he beats everybody. So Peter was a little bit slower. So John, it says, he looked inside, he sees inside. Now, Simon Peter, therefore, also comes following him. So we know that Peter was slower than John. John was quicker on his feet. And he goes in, he just goes in, and went into the tomb and beholds Theoreal. So theories, you know, like in science and so on, you can see certain things. You do these empirical formulas where you watch things happen, but you can't see inside atoms. You can't see inside certain things. They're too small, too microscopic. So theories are formed, but they do know if they do this and they do that, they'll always come up with this, but sometimes they don't. They have these funny things that happen. Well, apparently they don't see completely. Theories don't always work, do they? But it's better than the blepo. And now John, he goes in all the way. The fast one goes in all the way. And he ideos, the third Greek word, blepo, fleshly eyesight, theorio, our minds, soul, eyesight, and ideo. Now this is to be able to see beyond the veil. It's spiritual eyesight, ideo. He went in and saw, and what was the result of it?
Well, when he saw that way, then he believed.
And that's verse 8. Isn't that funny? It's verse 8, the number of Jesus. He went in all the way. And isn't it funny that they left it that way? Verses came later. They weren't in the original Bible, but this is Pannon setting up which verse. The order. He knows the order because he's the mathematician. He saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So they didn't know it. Isn't that interesting? They didn't know that yet. They weren't focused. You can read about it till you're blue in the face, but to know it like a man and a woman until the day they get married, they do not know each other. And then on the marriage, they become one. They become one flesh, and they know each other. And you start to find out that your husband's a little short-tempered in this, and your wife will get cranky when she does. You do that, and you really get to know each other, and you better not do that. But to know something is an intimacy. Not to get weird on this, because it's just to know. There's different levels of knowing. You can know people in the spirit. And you won't do that until you're a believer and have the same spirit within you, the Holy Spirit within you. So he saw and believed, but they did not yet know the scripture about the rising from the dead, the resurrection. They weren't intimately acquainted with that yet. One thing to hear about it, but it's another thing to know it.
I never noticed in verse 5, it says, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrapping. So he must have been looking down. You know, I've always pictured it as like going through a door and they rolled the stone away. But that makes me wonder if it wasn't a tomb that was dug down and they rolled the stone over the top and lifted it up.
Or it stooped. In other words, it was a low door.
Low door.
A low door, yeah.
Yeah. One or the other. One or the other. I don't know. But Mary was standing without. So she's out there. It's, you don't catch that. I just looked at the next context. I haven't read it yet. But here's a woman again. It's never just the guys.
Well, they took off running, but then she ran behind them. She ran away.
She ran to get them, and she ran. Then she came back with them.
Yes, she came back.
But it doesn't say. She might, you know, some women are faster than guys, too. So I knew a state champion lady that guys had a hard time catching. Verse 11 through 18, chapter 20.
But Mary was standing without at the tomb weeping. As therefore she was weeping, she stooped into the tomb. And behold, two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, Woman, why weepest thou?
But now, wait a minute. Peter and John are there, and they're inside, but he says to her.
Well, it says in verse 9, they went away. Mm-hmm.
They went away, but Mary was standing out. She didn't leave the tomb.
Oh, they went away. Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
They didn't leave the tomb.
So it's just her.
Yes. And so that now this has just happened.
I was they focused went in there, on those three eyesights.
They
were. So
they
gone.
Went in there, and what wasn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The angels weren't there when the disciple and Peter went in.
Now she becomes special again. That she's isn't that interesting?
She's way special. Yeah.
You know, we think all the apostles, disciples, but how about? And this is Mary Magdalene, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? She says to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had said thus, she turned around, and beholding Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing to him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Miriam. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. Jesus says to her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended into the Father, but go unto my brethren and tell them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. Miriam Magdalene comes and declares to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and he has said these things to her.
So who does he appear to first in his resurrection?
Mary Magdalene.
Not one of the 12? Or
when they had a chance because they were just there.
Yeah.
They were just there.
And they came first, and he didn't appear to them. He could have, but he does it to her.
And two angels.
Yeah.
Talk to her before First, Jesus
the two
does.
Angels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you weeping? Because, and they, let's see, where did it say that? And she 13. Saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying.
It doesn't say that about Peter and John, does it?
It doesn't. Mm-hmm. And her very first concern is, where have they laid him? Where is he?
Like the mother complex, wanting to take care of.
And they started the conversation. And they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? They started the conversation.
Yeah. And when angels don't have wings, Laura up in Belfair, she goes, Gilbert, I've gone through the whole Bible. I never see once where angels have wings. Angelos, you know, the word for angels, now not cherubim. Cherubim have wings. It never says that angels have wings. If you entertain an angel and it says unaware, that angel appears as a person. I don't know if it has a gender, you know, if it appears as a woman or whatever, it doesn't say, but you can entertain angels unawares.
You don't know they're angels.
Yeah, if you entertain a stranger, you could be entertaining an angel unawares. You need some food here, come to my house, I'll feed you. You could be doing that to one of the angels of God. And if you don't do it, you could be doing that to one of the angels of God. And so what do angels look like if you don't know what they look like if you're looking at a human being? What's obvious what they look like. And what's that?
People.
People. So people always draw them with wings in religious circles. They draw an angel, even Mary Baker Eddy. Is that the gal that started the Church of God, that Pentecostal, which ended up being the Calvary Church? They always depict her with these flowing robes that are white and the garment going down from each of her hands that look like wings. So they show her with the light on her. I think she started the Church of God in like Pasadena or California in the 1920s. And there's big scandals about them and everything. So they changed the names of the churches. And now then surfers take it over and it becomes the Calvary Chapel. But they still talk about her. And they used to have her coming downstairs with steam coming out with lights on it that made her look like she was descending on a cloud. She'd stand on the stage and people would look up at her and try to touch her and be healed, you know, like she was an angel, and give that impression. And angels do not look like that at all. They look like a person, maybe a man, maybe a woman.
Now, the angels only ask her one question, why weepest thou? And they said nothing else. And the next thing said, Jesus said identically the same thing. They did not say.
They came before.
They came before and were there and asked her a question, and then she turned and there's Jesus.
Now, Peter and John saw blepo, theorio, ideo, and when they've been in all the way, they saw and believed. Now here's Mary Magdalene. She goes in and Jesus is right there talking to her. The first person he appears to.
That's right.
He asks her a second question. Whom seekest thou?
Who are you looking for?
Who are you looking for?
And she thought he was the gardener, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are three times it says in here, Jesus said, Jesus said, Jesus said to her. Jesus said to her three times. Isn't that an interesting number? There's the three eyesights here.
And there's three things.
And there's three things that Jesus said to her. Isn't that? I never picked that part up.
And two angels and Jesus. There's
yeah.
Three.
Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?
And touch
and
me not.
And then he says, Miriam. He called her by name.
And she
and
said.
And then four, Jesus said to her, touch me not. He gave him the whole thing. So there's four things.
And she didn't say, I'm looking for Jesus. She said, they've taken away my Lord.
And he said her name and boom.
And then he told her to go unto my brethren and tell them.
What you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a conversation. That wasn't a one-liner. That was questions, identified who he was, called her by name, and she knew immediately who he was.
He chose to appear to her first.
That's how it is.
Outside of the tomb. Just notice that.
Yeah, he wasn't in there.
Where does it say that, Dan?
Well, it says she turned.
Read that part.
Okay, let me find it.
Oh, verse 14, right?
Yeah, and she turned around and behold, the Jews was standing and she knew not that it was Jesus. She supposed him to be the gardener. I made an assumption. He was outside the tomb.
Anyway, he was in back of her someplace.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I learned in grammar school not to say in back of, it's behind. Sorry, English teacher from the sixth grade or whatever. Yeah. There's no such thing as in back of. So that's what you learn in grammar school. And she saw him, and that's that word ideo for her.
I was thinking of, I know my sheep by name and my sheep hear my voice when he says this.
Mm-hmm. And just think when he returns, he's going to call your name, but it's not your original name. It's this new name you get when your heart is circumcised.
Mm-hmm.
And because we become a new person, like Peter, Cephas or Simon is now Peter, chip off the old rock. Saul became Paul. A new identity when we're born up, a new name. And he will call us, and I don't know my new name now, but you'll know your new name when he talks to you. Isn't that thrilling to think that? Because he creates in us a clean heart. He creates, he starts at the very core of man and gives him a new identity. That's why when people change, when they turn to the Lord and are born up, they're born from up from above or born up, they become a new creation. And people will say, what happened to you? How many people have you seen that have come to the Lord because they've seen a friend totally change like never before? To be like never before.
Me.
Me, I've seen it. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and create a right spirit within me.
We just love the fact that the Bible is so living that you don't not always just read it, but songs come out of the Bible. The whole Bible was sung. And there might be several songs just to one Bible verse, too. There's layers even within the music. It shows the layers that are in the Bible. And this one is Romans 14:17.
The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo. Porque el reino de Dios no es comida ni bebida, sino justicia y paz y gozo en el Espíritu Santo. Gozo y paz y justicia in el Espíritu Santo.
Well, it looks like we're running out of time. It's been fun talking to you. We're going to continue on. I think I'll take one more session to finish up the book of John. And thank you for joining us. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.